Hare Krishna. Morning, dear devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hope you had a very nice Gaur Purnima celebration yesterday. And at least that you did what you could, considering the circumstances that you were probably in for many of you. I also did the best I could also myself here. We had a spontaneous kirtan yesterday, and it was not announced, but somehow, I don't know, a good sized group of people showed up, even though it wasn't announced. And we had some readings in the afternoon also from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And we had another kirtan and then feast. Anyways. But it was a very nice opportunity, at least for me to increase my meditation on Lord Chaitanya. And fortunately, I was able to do it in the association of devotees, both online and for some of the day physically. So that physical association definitely enhanced the the experience of Gaur Purnima. Now we're back into my cave, and we will begin Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Volume 2, Chapter 4. And text 188, I believe. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tesham apyavataranam sevakai paramam mahat labhyate sukham atmatma priyase varasanugam. Translation. Still, the servants of the Lord's incarnations achieve the greatest happiness in the loving services they prefer, each according to his own mood. Commentary. Since Sri Krishna Dev is the boundless ocean of all super excellent glories, why doesn't every devotee serve him and him alone to obtain the highest possible happiness? The answer is that every Vaishnava, no matter what form of Vishnu he worships, achieves a special individual happiness suited exactly to his own attitude, and this completely fulfills his heart's desires. All the Supreme Lord's pure servants know such perfect satisfaction, so they all attain the ultimate limit of happiness available in their own rasas. I'm going to read a few verses today. Upasana nusarena dattehi bhagavan palam na tatra parato shasyat kasyachit sajalabataha. According to the way one worships, the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. Commentary. The personality of Godhead knows everything there is to know. He is also the most merciful giver of charity. Why then doesn't he give the same supreme happiness to all his devotees? It is because what he gives them depends on their expressed desires. Then aren't the devotees dissatisfied who receive happiness that is relatively less? No. When the Supreme Lord reciprocates the love of any of his pure devotees, the devotee is never left feeling incomplete, because everything the devotee wanted, the Lord provides. Vichitra lila vibhavasya tasya samujakoti gananas gahanasayasya vichitra tadruchidana lila vibhutim utarakayatum prabhukaha. The Lord's pastimes expand in unlimited variety. His mind is deeper than millions of oceans. The opulence of his diverse pastimes attracts his devotees to him in so many ways. Who can understand him by speculation? Commentary. But why doesn't the Lord bestow the very best method of worship upon all his devotees? After all, he is Hrishikesh, the master of the senses, who inspires all the energies of knowledge and activity. If he wanted to bestow the very best method, he could. But he chooses instead to respond to the individual taste of each devotee for a particular loving service. This variety of reciprocation with many different devotees in his lila and his special great is his lila and his special greatness. How can anyone presume to understand why he acts as he does? We can understand only this much. Were he not to expand varieties of pastimes with various devotees, the charm of his variegated enjoyment would not be complete. Om Agyana Timarandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chaksho Unminitam Dhina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastachare Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the last verse, we spoke on Saturday. We continued describing Krishna's unique excellences, which are distinct in Goloka and Gokul, which differentiates him in that most complete form from his other forms. And we didn't fully complete. We discussed his three of the four excellences, his Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Lila Madhurya. But we didn't really didn't go into detail in Rupa Madhurya, but they were just two. I don't even have the Lagu Bhagavatamrita with me. They were just two verses which described Krishna's unique beauty and how much that beauty surpassed the beauty from all other forms, and how the devotees are attracted by that beauty. Now, of course, we probably could, if we wanted to, go into a detailed class about Krishna's beauty. But I decided to move on. Now, we are continuing in Narada Muni's presentation to Gopakumar. And as the last verse described, that those devotees whose hearts are softened by prema bhakti, then the many unique glories of Krishna can be understood by them. Then, now we're getting into a question which I suspect has already been asked many times by some of you, and it's natural to think about, why doesn't Krishna give everyone the same thing? Why? I mean, boy, that question is just asked here also then, also, as well. And where was the question posed? Why doesn't he give the same supreme happiness to all his devotees? Why? And if we really try to analyze it from a transcendental point of view, we should see it from the way it's being explained here in the commentaries. And that is because for each and every devotee, and we've discussed this already, I think we've even read these verses before, he's so completely happy. Then why should somebody who sees things from a different perspective impose on them that you should go for something that's more happy? Why? They're completely happy. And not only are they completely happy, they're eternally happy. And that point is brought out here also. And not only are they eternally happy, but their eternal happiness is ever increasing because Krishna's reciprocating. And in a way which is just suitable to their desires. And why should somebody who may have a particular attraction to a particular form, to a particular mood, why should he impose the need on somebody who appears to have lesser? We've already explained that in Vaikuntha there's really no hierarchies. And we said there's no hierarchies because everybody's happy with what they have. Hierarchies exist only if I have something better than you, and I'm in a better position than you are, and you should try to come to my position, and I should dominate because I'm higher up on the hierarchical scale, and I should control. And hierarchies exist in the mundane world because there's mundane consciousness. And we're going to discuss that also. It's in the next verse, because the next verse is a verse we've discussed before, our topic we've discussed before. It's about envy. And we talked about how envy, previously, how envy, jealousy, it exists even in the heavenly planets. The demigods are generally very envious towards each other. Demons are generally very envious of the demigods. The demigods also become envious if some person who are ascetic or a yogi seems to becoming very powerful, and they try to interfere by sending forth various obstacles. The fact is, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that describes that sometimes incomplete ascetics or yogis or mystics, the reason why they're incomplete is because the demigods were envious of them. And they sent forward, well, the verse actually describes, they sent forth family members, or they sent forth other personalities to distract them from their austerities, from their mystic yogic practice. And therefore, the demigods arranged for them to not be able to achieve their fruit of their austerities. Why? Because they're envious. And that's a verse. In fact, I have that verse. Let me see. I have it somewhere. I put it down. Maybe I'm digressing. I don't know. But I won't. I'll bring it back into focus. I promise. Yes. No. I don't have it. Yes, I found it. 11th canto, 28th chapter, 29th verse. Ku yogino ye vihitantarayar manusya bhutaist tridaso pasrishtai te prakritanabhasya bhalena bhuyo yunjanti yogam natu karma tantram. Sometimes the progress, not just family members, sometimes the progress of imperfect transcendentalists is checked by attachment to family members, disciples, or others who are sent by envious devatas for that purpose. But on the strength of their previous practice, they will resume their practice of yoga in the next life. They will never again be trapped in the network of karma. So, that's 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. So, why would the devatas do such a thing? Envy. Why would Indra do so many things that he did? Like when Pitu Maharaj was performing 100 horse sacrifices, and his 100th horse sacrifice, Indra decided that he was going to steal the horse. Why? I'm the one who's performed 100 horse sacrifices. And therefore he interfered and he tried to stop it. This obviously, there's some envy there, some jealousy. And that kind of hierarchy exists below Vaikuntha. But in Vaikuntha, there's no hierarchy. And we already explained, there's no hierarchy because everyone gets the fulfillment of their desires personally by Krishna, And there's no competition because nobody's thinking I have something better. Nobody's trying to control. Nobody's jealous. These things just don't exist in Vaikuntha. And why doesn't Krishna just let everybody, or try to get everybody just to achieve the highest happiness, the greatest happiness? Well, this is answered here. Because, where is it? The answer is that every Vaishnava, no matter what form of Vishnu he worships, achieves a special individual happiness suited exactly to his own attitude, and this completely fulfills his heart's desires. And then we also read in the verse a little bit later that this variety, if he wanted to bestow the very best method, he could, but he chooses instead to respond to the individual taste of each devotee for a particular loving service. This variety of reciprocation with many different devotees in his lila, it is his lila and his special greatness. How can anyone presume to understand why he acts as he does? We can only understand this much. Putting the limits. We can only understand this much. Were he not to expand varieties of pastimes with various devotees, the charm of his variegated enjoyment would not be complete. Not be complete. We've already many times explained before, you know, what the Krishna is only complete. It's complete because all unlimited varieties of pleasures are ultimately coming from him. And we even gave the example, quoting Srila Prabhupada, that why do the finite living entities exist? Why aren't all living entities eternally liberated? And Prabhupada explained, because Krishna would not be complete if he had only unlimited potencies. He's complete when he has unlimited potencies and limited potencies. Now, someone may say, why? Well, how can anyone presume to understand why he acts as he does? As Sanatana Goswami says, why? Well, one reason why is, and as we've already spoken about it previously many times, and I don't need to really go into detail, but just reflect how Krishna's happiness increases when he receives somebody again. We've talked about this many times. So someone would say, does that mean Krishna? Krishna purposely put me into this situation only because he wanted to get his unlimited complete happiness of receiving me again? Did he do that? Somebody may say like that, but obviously somebody who says like that doesn't know Krishna. And unfortunately, sometimes persons become challenged by that concept, is why would Krishna want me to suffer? And Prabhupada has addressed it so many times. He doesn't want you to suffer. You have your choice. Why do you have your choice? Because that's the constitutional nature of every living being, is to have choice. Prabhupada in one lecture says, choice means one has to have the opportunity to choose that which is wrong. If he doesn't have choice. So we can go into this existential scenario from so many different angles of vision. But the point is, and that's why Sanatana Goswami says, we're limited. How can anyone presume to understand why Krishna acts as he does? We should be careful. We should know that Krishna very much wants us to enjoy with him more than anything else. And he makes every possible effort through his different diverse expansions that we've been talking about in this chapter to help the living entity come back to him. Here's another point. In fact, just today, Prabhupada in Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was saying, why do all these unlimited varieties of species of life exist? He was talking specifically, you know, why so many different varieties? And Prabhupada, you know, uses his usual mathematics. And he's used it many times. Because of the three modes of material nature, he says 3 times 3 is 9. 9 times 9 is 81. And therefore, 8,400,000 species, different species of life. And he talks about how the diversities that exist in the material world is because of the different combination of the modes of material nature. Now, we talked about previously how these different modes of material nature are the Sri potency, the Bhu potency, also, and the Durga potency. And we also spoke about how the Sri potency, the Bhu potency, and the Durga potency were all potencies which are ultimately coming from Mahalakshmi. And Mahalakshmi, she provides unlimited varieties of pleasure, which we've talked about in the Vaikuntha planets, and in the Ayodhya, and in Dwarka. And we really, really went into a lot of detail about all the different varieties of enjoyment she provides. She is the mother of all variety. And she gives birth to the unlimited varieties of pleasure. Now, try to see her expansions. What are they doing? And Prabhupada was making this point. Prabhupada was making the point that these three modes of material nature provide unlimited varieties of pleasures for the living entities in the material world. And Prabhupada today, he used an example in class. He said, just like when I came to your country, I think he was giving a lecture in San Diego, so it was in America. He said, just like when I came to your country, he said, you're a wealthy country. He said, I didn't expect to see somebody in the street, living in the streets, loitering in the streets. Why are people loitering in the streets here in this country? You're all wealthy people. And I didn't expect to see anything like that. He said, I expected to see something like that in India. But in America, I don't expect to see something like that. And then he started talking about the hippies. He said how when he was living in the Bowery, he saw so many hippies, they could have lived in opulence. And he said he was speaking to one professor the night before in San Diego, and he was discussing this point. Why so many hippies living in the street? And he said the professor couldn't give an answer. And Prabhupada was trying to explain this because that's what they want. They could have opulence, but they want to live in the street. And he was using this as an example as started. He didn't go into the full detail, but he started to explain that, yes, Because that's what you want. Then that's what you got. You choose this. And therefore, material nature provides unlimited varieties of ways to enjoy in the material world. So if there are unlimited varieties of ways to enjoy in the material world, and the material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world, then the spiritual world must have unlimited varieties of enjoyment also. But they're all spiritual. They're all fully happy, eternally. And here, it's simply the perverted reflection. And without variety, the Lord is incomplete. He's incomplete. That much we should understand. That much we should try to understand. That's the point he's making here. Srila Sanatana Goswami is making here. So, when you look at it from that point of view, then we should try to take advantage of every opportunity to see Krishna's presence in everything, in all the different varieties. Right? What is it? Just like that was, it makes me think that Jiva Goswami uses that story in the Sandarbha of the worshipper of, I think it was a worshipper of Lord Nrisimhadev, who was captured by somebody who was a worshipper of Durga, and he couldn't do the puja that day, and he tried to get this worshipper of the Lord to do the puja, and then the person was thinking, I can't worship Durga, I'm a worshipper of the Supreme Lord. And then the person said, but if you don't perform this worship, I'll cut off your head. So he was performing he started performing the worship, but he was meditating on his worshipful deity as he was performing the worship. And as he was performing that worship, meditating on his worshipable deity, then what happened is that Durga came out of the deity and cut off the head of the worshiper. And Jiva Goswami was using this as an example. It's a story given somewhere in the, I can't remember where it's given, that it's given an example to show that a devotee, he sees his worshipable deity everywhere. And therefore, one who sees his worshipable deity everywhere, his worshipable deity will manifest and protect him. So this is what we should try to learn, at least by understanding how Krishna and his spiritual potencies are all manifest also everywhere in the material world. And therefore, if we learn how to see him and his potencies, spiritual potencies in everything, then, as we've discussed before, then the devotee will always be protected under all circumstances. So, I wanted to read one more verse. And hopefully we covered this point. I've discussed these three verses. I've read them before many times. And I didn't really want to dwell on them. Suffice it that all these unlimited varieties of forms that are manifest in Vaikuntha all exist because of the unlimited varieties of worship of his devotees. And because each of his devotees has their own taste for service to the Lord, and because the Lord is so much inclined to reciprocate with their particular tastes, therefore, we see these unlimited moods. And we should be very careful, and we'll discuss that. It's coming up in the next verse. Sidhyat tatapyatra kripa mahishtata yat tarat hamye pini jisva bhavata sparahad yavrittaya nikela yata ruchi prapyeta seva sukam antyasim agam. Even amidst such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection. For despite the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy. Hierarchy, greater and lesser, as we said before, it's only perceived by those who look at it from the outside. From inside, there's no hierarchy. Hierarchy only is only perceived by somebody who's looking at it from the outside point of view. And even from looking at it from the outside of point of view, there's no question of a material hierarchy because everybody's happy eternally. So let's not get confused. Even amidst such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection, for despite the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy or by any such bad feelings toward others. Each devotee, following his own nature, attains the final limit of happiness in the service that suits his own taste. Commentary. That the Supreme Lord does not behave the same with every devotee does not invalidate the glory of his boundless compassion. I'll repeat that. That the Supreme Lord does not behave the same way with every devotee does not invalidate the glory of his boundless compassion. Rather, his discriminating dealings with his servants enhance his reputation because every devotee relishes the highest possible happiness. By the nature of devotional service, none of the Lord's servants ever become dissatisfied. On the heavenly planets, and elsewhere in the material world, inequality always leads to conflict and envy. But not so in the dealings between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Rivalry, jealousy, and other undesirable emotions never interfere with their happiness. Devotees on the path of pure devotional service are protected from these inauspicious influences, including false pride and malice toward others. Vaishnavas are naturally friendly to one another. Free from envy, they can peacefully pursue their real self-interests. Again, Vaikuntha mentality. When I was reading this, I was thinking that we have been talking a lot about the supreme destination, the unique, distinct qualities that exist in Goloka, the highest ecstasies which cannot be understood in Vaikuntha, cannot be understood anywhere else. Hearing about all these things could lead us to think that the residents of Goloka are looking down. But as we've explained before, the residents of Goloka, because of their natural dānya, humility. In fact, yesterday when we were speaking on Lord Chaitanya, we were speaking specifically about the qualities of dānya and how anyone who does not have this quality of dānya, of humility, which was manifest in the highest degree by the gopis, and to the topmost degree by Srimati Radharani. If they don't have that humility, then they cannot experience, neither can they achieve or attain that unique love of Godhead. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami, or Narada Muni in this particular case, was explaining to Gopa Kumara, a devotee has to cultivate this dānya in his thoughts, in his words, in his actions. And because that dānya is the prevalent mood of that transcendental realm of Goloka. It's that quality which pervades. And Narada Muni was even saying that because of dānya, there's never any attraction for karma, jnana, mystic yoga. Because of that humility, nobody's ever attracted to these things because there's no envy. They're completely humble and thinking themselves as the most fallen. That is the characteristic of dānya. And that is the mood of the residents of Goloka. And it's displayed by the fact that none of them know how great they are. They don't know. We know how great they are. Others hear about how great they are. And Lord Chaitanya, which is what we talked about yesterday, Lord Chaitanya descended specifically to display to the whole universe how great the gopis are, because they were so humble that the Lord put them in the most intense pain unimaginable to anybody. Unimaginable to anybody in this world. And you cannot imagine the pain he put them in. And he derived the highest pleasure from their pain. And somebody may look at that. What kind of a Lord derives the highest pleasure from someone's pain? And the point was, because they can't understand, their pain is the highest ecstasy. They can't understand it. And because they don't have dānya, they won't understand it. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya came to teach dānya, to teach that by his own example. And he came to broadcast that dānya by teaching it himself. He came to broadcast not only by speaking about it, but he came to broadcast by showing himself the pain he was inflicting, he was experiencing of separation in the mood of Radharani. The suffering he experienced, intense suffering. And therefore, those who hear about it, as Narada Muni told Gopa Kumara, I can tell you about this, but you're going to have to see it for yourself. And then he said, but even if she saw Srimati Radharani herself, there's a good chance you wouldn't understand it. Therefore, if you're fortunate, the Lord will maybe someday he may come in a form, which is the combined form of Radharani and Krishna. He may come himself in that form so that you can see it and hear about it and taste it. Otherwise, if he doesn't come in that form, you won't have access to it. So he's so merciful that he comes in that form so others could see, others can hear, because he was always speaking. He's always speaking the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in his mood of intense separation in Puri, he was always, when he was internal consciousness, he wasn't speaking, but sometimes when he was in semi-consciousness, he would speak, but he would speak in such a way, oh, where is Krishna? Where is he? Why did you just... And he would speak, I need Krishna now. I was there, and you brought me... And he's experiencing so much pain and suffering from separation. And anyone who sees that, then what happens? They begin, oh, yes. Now I can understand. And by teaching in this way, then those who see, those who can understand, they also begin spreading, giving it to others. As we've seen through our disciplic succession, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, all our previous acharyas, they all taught this dainya, this humility, and feelings of separation, which they describe. Narottam Das Thakur, read it, and relish. They came to teach, because it's the highest ecstasy. It's the highest ecstasy, but it's unknown to those who don't have this dainya. It will remain a mystery. So, this dainya or humility exists in each and every resident of Goloka. Why would they think, oh, Vaikuntha residents, and look upon them in a disparaging way, like those. No, they don't. They don't even know how great they are. They don't know. All they know is Krishna. And they know the pain of separation. And of course, this is it's a topic which is being brought out here specifically, that there's no envy. There's no trace of envy. Not only is there no trace of envy in Goloka, although there is envy in Goloka, but we talked about that before. There's envy in Goloka, but there's no malice. And we gave different examples how envy exists in Goloka, because that envy that exists in Goloka just simply, here we go again, increases the variety of Krishna's pleasure. Without envy in Goloka, then Krishna's pleasure is still limited. But because of envy, it simply increases the variety. But that increases his pleasure and increases the pleasure of those who are experiencing such so-called envy. They relish it. And all talking is singing, all walking is dancing. Everybody is joyful and blissful in their moods of ecstasy. And therefore, we should understand that in Vaikuntha, they're also experiencing the highest ecstasy. So someone would say, hey, it's not the highest ecstasy. I know there's some higher ecstasy. And why are you worshiping the Lord that way? Don't you know there's a higher ecstasy? We have to understand. We should, if there's any jealousy, envy, or malice, there's no room for that in pure bhakti. There's just no room for it. It doesn't exist. And if it does exist, we should understand it's due to the presence of impurities. And as long as there's presence of impurities, then Cheto Dharpana Majanam Bhava Mahadevagni Navarapanam. We need to clean our heart. We need to clean our heart. So Vaishnavas, they're very kind. They always, they're adosha darshi. They don't look for shortcomings. They don't look for faults. They don't look for opportunities to criticize. What do they look for? They look for the potential of bhakti within the heart of everyone. And wherever they see the potential for bhakti, then they help them by their instructions, by their teachings, by their example. They help them. That's what Narada Muni is doing to Gopakumara. It's exactly what he's doing. He's feeling compassion for Gopakumara. He's helping him. We talked about before about his compassion that he was feeling for Gopakumara's pain of, despite the fact he was in Vaikuntha, he was feeling incomplete. And Narada Muni, understanding this, now he's instructing him in such a way to help him to feel more complete. It's not because he's thinking, oh, Gopakumara is one of those. No, nothing like that. There's no malice. And in this way, as Prabhupada speaks about in many places, this is the mentality of a Vaishnava. He doesn't look for faults. He looks. And therefore, as we spoke about yesterday in our Gaurapurnima lecture, we spoke about a little bit, we were reading the verses from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which to some degree embodied the perfection of the mood of such elevated Vaishnavas, that they continuously chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking themselves lower than the straw on the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others, never expecting respect for themselves. In that state of mind, they can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, this is a little bit about freedom from envy. And we should be very careful to not become possessed by such envy, by such mundane competition. There are so many examples we could give about the envy and the jealousy in the heavenly planets. In fact, we even talked about it once before, but there's no need to go into that now. We already covered it. And I think I'm going to stop here. And that's probably enough for one class. But we'll begin. Next class, we'll begin on text 192. We're still continuing about this hierarchy. there'll be more verses. But we'll try to find some variety here. ways to describe these verses. Either that or we'll move on, because there are still discussions about hierarchy. Imagine hierarchies. The hierarchy among devotees is only imagined. Doesn't exist. All right. We can end here. Today's Monday. So we can begin chanting. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Thank you, dear devotees. We will end here. And for those of you who still have some japa, don't let me interrupt. Please continue. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna